terrific national guests, and this year is absolutely no different. This guy is one of the absolute best baseball information people out there. I am a big fan of his, although I've never met him before. So let's say hello to Ken Rosenthal. Ken, how are you?
Good afternoon, George. How are you?
Good, and thank you for doing this.
Sure, my pleasure.
So I'm going to ask you a lot of the same stuff all of us probably are that you'll end up getting hit with Saturday night. But I know you love baseball. I do too. So let's do it. Let's start with this thing that has gone on in Tampa in the last week, week and a half, where they were told Montreal will not be a split city deal. Does this mean anything for Nashville's attempt to get an MLB franchise?
I would say it's too early to tell, but it can't hurt. And the reason I say it can't hurt is because ultimately baseball will not expand until they resolve the Tampa Bay and Oakland situations. The Tampa Bay situation, according to the Rays people, hinged on this two-city plan. They basically announced they couldn't do it just in Tampa Bay. They couldn't make it work. Well, if that's the case, if they truly cannot make it work, then they are a candidate for relocation. Now, keep in mind, their lease at Tropicana Field in St. Petersburg runs through 2027. So it's not as if they can move tomorrow. But all of these different developments and whatever is going on with Oakland and Las Vegas, it all figures into the massive stew that is in the expansion relocation question. So I'm not really answering, I know, and I know I'm not giving people in Nashville the answer they want to hear, but if Tampa Bay becomes a candidate for relocation, yes, I would think at that point, obviously, Nashville becomes a factor.
Are we playing baseball on opening day?
This is another good question. I still believe the answer is yes. Now, they're not that close yet, MLB and the union, on a deal. They have made some progress, but there's still a long way to go. But keep in mind, we're not even in February 1st yet. We're getting closer to February 1st, but we're not there. And in my mind, for spring training to start on time, you have to have a deal around February 1st, some point next week, to give the teams a two-week window, say, to sign free agents, make trades, do all the off-season business that was interrupted when the lockout began on December 1st. So February 1st is not a hard deadline because spring training does not have to be 6 weeks, right? You can go till, say, February 15th, get a deal then, start spring training March 1st, still open the season on time. That is still possible, but does a scenario exist where we're not starting on time? Absolutely it exists, and we'll have to see just how it all plays out. It should. I will say this, and I've written this. Not a single game should be lost. This is not that complicated, but these two parties don't like each other very much.
I'm going to ask the Freddie Freeman question in a different way. You've probably been asked it a million times. Is the problem Anthopoulos Freddie Freeman or Liberty Media Freddie Freeman?
I can't say that with certainty, but the Freddie Freeman decision is at some point driven by ownership, right? Ownership has to commit to $150 million or $175 million or whatever the number might be. Now, Alex Anthopoulos, I'm sure, has given Braves ownership a recommendation for what he thinks the deal should look like. But ultimately, in my view, this is an ownership call. So I guess I would say mostly it's ownership, but Anthopoulos is not simply a bystander. He is part of the process, and I'm sure he is advising ownership. But at the end of the day, if an owner tells a GM, in any situation, I want this player, spend what it takes to get him, that's what happened. Hasn't happened here.
Let me try this one on you. I'm hopscotching all over the place.
Go ahead. Yeah, that's fine.
Hall of Fame balloting a couple of days ago. Were you surprised it was only one? And in the end, if I had asked you 10 years ago, will Bonds and Clemens ever get in? would your answer have been any different then than it is now?
I was not surprised first that it was only one. In fact, I was a little surprised David Ortiz got to 75%. I know he was tracking above that, but usually the numbers drop somewhat significantly when the full electorate's choices are revealed. His dropped somewhat, I believe, from 83% in what was publicly known before, about 50% of the ballots, to 77%, but he still got in comfortably. So I was not surprised by the outcome in which Ortiz was the only guy. Now, you asked me about 10 years ago, and that's a very interesting way to phrase it, and I'll tell you why. 10 years ago was 2012. At that time, players had 15 years on the ballot. I would have said 15 years, I don't know, maybe. But in 2014, the Hall of Fame said, we're going down to 10 years from 15 for a player's eligibility, and they did it quite obviously to most of us to make it more difficult for players linked to performance-enhancing drugs to get in. Now, my colleague Jason Stark at The Athletic answered a very interesting question in something he published today, a mailbag, in which he said if Bonds and Clemens had 15 years, if they had five more to go, he believes they would have gotten in. They were getting closer. New voters were coming on board each year, and new voters tended to be more forgiving of what they had done. So definitely the 10-year rule had an effect here, I would say.
Watson, say hello to Ken Rosenthal.
Ken, thanks for coming on with us. To stay with the Hall of Fame, were you for those two guys getting in, or are you one of the ones that just don't believe they should get in?
Well, I did vote for them, but I did not always vote for them. And I started voting for them, I think, 3 or 4 years back when it seemed to me, well, okay, other players suspected of using PEDs are getting in now. Why should we hold it against Bonds and Clemens simply because their cases and usage is far more publicized? Now, I'm not exonerating what they did, but at that time, it was the culture of the sport. There were not set rules, at least early on, when they were alleged to have used. And I just felt, since we don't know who did what, to what extent, they should get in because others, in my view, who had used, or at least strong suspicions of using, had gotten in. Now, the next question might be, okay, do you vote for Alex Rodriguez and Manny Ramirez? The answer to that, at least at this point, is no. And the reason it's no is because once baseball established firm rules and penalties for PED use, both of those players were suspended. Ramirez for testing positive twice. A-Rod did not test positive, but he got a full-year suspension because they caught him in 9 other ways. So it's a very difficult question, and I understand that there might be listeners out there saying, hey, you should never vote for cheaters. I get that argument, and for a few years there, I subscribed to that argument. But at the same time, it's just really difficult to figure out what exactly is the right choice, because as I always say, any argument I might want to present here is full of holes. If I tell you I'm voting for every steroid guy, including Alex and Manny, then you can say, well, you're condoning cheating. How can you do that? If I tell you I'm voting for a couple, like I did with Bonds and Clemens, well, you're condoning those guys, but not others. How can you do that? If you vote for none, that raises another question. How can you not have any of these players in the Hall of Fame? And these are all valid points of view. So it's just an extremely difficult and personal question. And I know a lot of people are upset with the writers one way or the other. I understand that. But we have more than 400 who vote, and this is the choice they made.
And to stay in that with the Pete Rose issue, Ken, and I've talked it this week a little bit. Paul Hornung, who deserved to be in as a football player, on-the-field football player, and Pete Rose, who deserves to be in as an on-the-field baseball player, Paul gets in, Pete has not. Is baseball too steep with their rules, or are they? I think it's the hardest one to get into the Hall of Fame is baseball. Do you think they're too strong in all their ways of going about it, or is football maybe too weak?
Well, the NFL takes a completely different approach. They don't consider character at all when judging Hall of Fame. They have a group of writers, not as large as ours. It's kind of like a committee that selects each year. And character is not part of the consideration. With baseball, the actual instructions to the voters say character, integrity, sportsmanship are part of the criteria. Now, you can take that any way you want it. In Rose's case, I have little sympathy, only because, like Alex Rodriguez, like Manny Ramirez, he knew the rules. And at that time, gambling on the sport was the cardinal sin in baseball. He knew that. He violated the rule. It's hard to get too upset on his behalf from that perspective. Now, as a player, you're absolutely right. Of course he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. But at the same time, when you that flagrantly violate a cardinal rule, it becomes difficult for me to have much sympathy. Now, there's another element here, too. This would perhaps lean more toward Rose. The association of not just baseball, but all professional sports leagues with gambling websites, gambling outfits, that has come to the fore in the last couple of years, it kind of makes the argument a little less consistent, let's say, on MLB's part.
Terry?
Ken, I'm going to go and down the path with my favorite team here, and that's the Yankees. I know that, you know, they've not won anything now in 12 years, and they've done some free agent spending. Gerrit Cole, they acquired Giancarlo Stanton's contract in a trade, that sort of thing. But I kind of get the feeling that Hal Steinbrenner doesn't run the team nearly the way his father George did, in that he doesn't seem to have that killer instinct. Now, while George could go overboard plenty with, you know, crazy signings and crazy antics, there was no doubt of his desire to win, and I don't know that I see that same passion in his son.
It's a very common criticism of Hal Steinbrenner, and I believe it's a fair criticism. Now, it doesn't make him a bad owner. He's been mindful of what owners are often mindful of, making money. But does he have that same win-at-all-cost mentality that his dad did? Quite obviously, no. And it's not just a financial thing either. Now, George was not the kind of boss that you or I would want, but he had a certain way of demanding excellence. He was overboard in his demands for excellence, often, as his employees could tell you. But it set a standard there and established a culture there that kind of made winning the only thing. I don't know that the Yankees still have that culture. Now, general manager Brian Cashman, manager Aaron Boone, all the players, they want to win as badly as you can imagine. And Hal Steinbrenner wants to win at some level, too. But they have been pretty careful about staying under the luxury tax in certain seasons in recent years. That's something a lot of people think the Yankees shouldn't do or shouldn't have to do. And you're absolutely right. While they've signed Cole, brought in Stanton, done some other things, clearly what they've done hasn't been enough. And this offseason looms is very interesting for them. Because so far, it's been quiet, right, from the Yankees' perspective. Still a number of free agents out there, and I'm curious to see how they handle it.
Here's my second one, and real quick, because we only got about 30 seconds. Has baseball gone too far on the emphasis of home runs and exit velocity and things like that, rather than going back to contact?
Got 30.
Yes. Yes. I don't even have to take 30. We need to get back to a sport that has more action, put it that way.
Ken, I'll leave it this way, and you shouldn't respond to this. Tell the commissioner to go stuff it.
Take care, guys.
See you, Ken. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, I knew that would that was a great answer. Or non-answer, as the case may be. When we come back,